You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
In our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, we'll meet a new seminarian and his wife who recently relocated from Germany to attend Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. Joining us in studio, Stephen Gusick and Stephanie Gusick, who recently relocated here to St. Louis to attend Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Stephen recently completed or is currently completing his first year at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Stephen, welcome.
Morning. Thank you very much for having me.
And Stephanie also joining us in studio. Stephanie also happens to be a colleague here at the International Center. She's support coordinator in the LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
What a wild ride, relocating from Germany here to St. Louis, joining the staff at the International Center, studying at Concordia Seminary, and now you're on the Coffee Hour.
It is crazy.
It's perfectly normal around here.
Yeah. I mean, literally, in Germany, we were on the fringes of LCMS, and now we're in the heartland of everything that's happening.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you grew up and how you met, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your current vocations as well. Stephen, where did you grow up?
Okay. So I grew up in Long Island, New York, about 50 miles east of the city. At the time, it was a very agricultural type area. It was becoming more suburban, but primarily farms and fields at that point and everything. But it's quite different now. Born and raised, lived there for 50 years before meeting Stephanie in 2019, where my life really abruptly changed. I met Stephanie on a cruise on August 2019. We were 3 days in. She was visiting from Germany with her daughter. I was down from New York, and we were on the beach in the Bahamas. And she was in the cabana next to me, and we started a conversation that hasn't ended. A few months later, we got engaged. A month after that, got married, moved over to Germany in February of 2020. So very quickly things happens, and then a month later COVID came, and then we enjoyed a year and a half of COVID lockdown in Germany.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up, right?
I think we could have like a 5-hour episode with both of you, but
we're just warming up.
I can tell. That is an adorable story. I'm so glad we asked you that question. Stephanie, what about you? Where did you grow up? We already know how you guys met, but where did you grow up?
I grew up in a few different places. I was born in Italy to a Navy father and a Puerto Rican mother. And I've lived in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, the state, not the country, before I graduated high school. And then since then, Japan, Korea, and Germany, and now here. Oh, then Kentucky, and now St. Louis. So a few places.
Yeah. Wow. The story just keeps getting better. Okay. So you guys met after living in a variety of places, an adorable meet story, and then you moved to Germany. What was going on in Germany? Why was Germany the place that you settled together?
Okay.
Stephanie, yeah.
That's me. So I was working for what was called DoDEA at the time, Department of Defense Education Activity. Mm-hmm. So basically wherever there's soldiers' children stationed overseas, they have teachers. And so I was an American teacher, and I taught everything from elementary school Spanish to middle school robotics. So I was over there teaching, and that's how come I had lived in Japan and Korea, and ended up in Germany for about 14 years, well, 9 years when we met, and we were back in the States. My youngest had just graduated, and so I was celebrating being a single mother, and we were doing the cruise, and I met this man on the beach. I saw him coming from a long way away, and he looked like someone's husband. I did not know he was my husband.
Oh.
We attribute it to the floppy hat, the husband floppy hat.
That's hilarious.
So when we met, we started talking and haven't stopped.
And when we, as our relationship developed from afar, with her being in Germany and me being in New York, very quickly we realized we wanted to spend our lives together. And I was already poised in a position where I was already planning to leave my current life and go do something else. Then I didn't know I was going to be going across an ocean and planting myself in Germany and being exposed to that culture and especially to her church. Where everything changed.
So one of the things I think that he really loved about me was my church, the LCMS church, the KELC, Kaiserslautern Evangelical Lutheran Church that I was attending at the time. And one of the first things I did when he came to visit was, you know, of course, take him to a church service and then lunch afterwards where he was appropriately grilled.
Who was this strange man from America coming over to, you know, to court our Stephanie, right?
That's amazing. You know.
And that's one of the things he said, that he's like, I'm ready to leave my life in New York behind, and I don't want to take your life. You have an amazing job. You have amazing church family, you know, and just social family that you love and obviously is just really amazing. And so he decided to come over there.
Tell us about your congregation. Tell us a bit more about this congregation and how you ended up there and what you love about Kaiserslautern.
Oh, wow. So when I first got to Germany, KELC was being run by a German pastor who happened to speak English. And that was the total involvement. And I talked to them about fellowshipping, and they're like, we're not a fellowshipy church. We don't want somebody calling us, you know, what's going on when we decide to go to Paris for the weekend. So I sort of stepped away for a while, you know, tried a couple of different churches and just couldn't get with their, you know, their doctrine and theology. And when we, at Christmas one year, I ended up meeting Pastor Asher, Joe Asher. Mm-hmm. He had just been sent over there, him and his wife, Jenny. And they were actually told that the American presence had drawn down, that the base was closed. And they were expecting about maybe, I think, 500 people or 1,000 Americans. And it turns out there's 50,000 Americans. Hmm. And when Joe and Jenny got there, they quickly saw the need for just a bona fide church. And I still remember just the look on Joe's face when we were like, no, 50,000. And of course, he got in touch with the Synod and things have been rolling from there. But Joe really brought the church together and formed what we have now, the KELC, this bond of fellowship and friendship. And when I got together with a friend of mine and we decided we wanted, you know, we didn't want to complain about not having a fellowshipy church. We have to be fellowshipy. So we formed the fellowship committee, put ourselves in charge, and started doing fellowshipy things. And Joe, you know, herded us along like the cats that we were, just like herding cats. Let's try to do this. And that's how I really started getting involved again in KELC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stephen, tell us about your experiences attending KELC with Stephanie. What was that like for you?
When I came to Germany the first time, the first place she took me to was her church. She went to her church service. That's where I met Joe Asher, you know, Pastor Asher.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, he means so much to me, as you'll come to learn in a few minutes. And then just meeting all her church family, because they were really living as a Christian family in this community. Which kind of makes sense in that context, because it's a military community. You're away from your family back in the States. And the folks there in that church became family and cared and loved upon one another and took care of one another, and all centered around Christ and his word and sacrament, you know. So it was just wonderful. And that's what struck me as being so different from my prior church experiences. I had grown up as Roman Catholic. Once getting confirmed, promptly fell away from the faith. And basically did the Lone Ranger Christian thing for 35 years, reading the Bible in isolation, not part of a Christian community. I would attend other services with friends and things, but never got involved in church life. Kaiserslautern, very different. And Joe took me under his wing and started, from the moment I met him, he started catechizing me from afar. So I was still back in New York. And he's in Germany, and we were through emails and texts. We were working through the small catechism, through the Bible. And so he started just really unraveling all this really poor theology understanding I had, and not even understanding what I didn't understand. But just really came to appreciate through that what our faith means, what it means to be a Christian, to be centered on Christ, the importance of Lutheran teaching and doctrine that holds faithful to God's word. So I count Joe, he's my father in the faith. He really is. And God bless him for being so patient. Took over a year to catechize me, get me confirmed in the Lutheran faith over there in Germany. But it was just wonderful. Yeah, we're very blessed to have him here in town too. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there a moment or a time when you thought, when you had this realization, like, wow, what I've learned throughout my childhood, and now what I'm learning, this is so different. Was there a moment when, I don't know, a light bulb goes on or something significant when you see there's a big difference?
I mean, the light bulb first went on just walking into the church, just the way the community and the family was, and the intensity, and you could feel and see their faith, you know, and just how they were oriented towards one another, you know. It was just very evident. And there were a lot of light bulb moments along the way, especially as Joe and I were walking through and just unpacking all the things I had learned, you know, as going through the Roman Catholic, you know, catechism and all that. And there's different things I picked up along the way as far as, you know, attending, you know, Baptist services or Methodist services with my friends and all these things. And just, okay, now I realize what all these things just didn't make sense to me, you know. And it was just all along the way, all these little steps. So there wasn't a big, you know, aha moment. It was a bunch of aha moments all along the way.
How did the congregation of Kaiserslautern Evangelical Lutheran Church support you, encourage you in your faith?
I mean, there were such... We're very blessed with strong elders who were there when I first got there. John Haynes was one of the first ones that, you know, him and I bonded and just really supported me in my growth, you know, as a confessing Lutheran, you know. But all of them were like that. I mean, you know, absolutely. Just, you know, I think of Aaron Tisdale, another gentleman. And then just as other people have come in, like the Hester family, you know, and the Petersons who are back there. And we had a bunch of German seminarians who came down from Oberursel who joined our church. But just so many people throughout time, because again, the congregation's constantly shifting there. You know, every year you're losing a quarter to a third of your congregation just because of the military turnover. So you're constantly, you know, saying hello and goodbye to people, which is hard, but it's great meeting new people too. But just very supportive. Then,
yeah. Oh, I do have to say,
sure. Yes,
yeah. I remember when Stephen proposed, John Haynes and his family were over visiting. And as they were leaving, he whispered to me, he's like, he's going to make a great elder. And we were very quiet about that because at that time he wasn't even Lutheran yet. He was still being catechized. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the beauties of being overseas, I think, is that you get into these leadership positions so quickly and you get involved. You can almost not help but be involved in a church when you're overseas, and especially in a smaller one. And they had him pegged. Yeah, and he superseded their even what they thought.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, within 2 months of 2.5 months of getting confirmed, I was voted in as vice president on the council, and then you know, and they said it's a great job. You'll get to learn the ropes. No, you know, nothing ever happens. Blah blah blah. Well, you have COVID, number one, and then 7 months into that, the president, her and her family got called back to the States, and also now I'm stepping into the role of president. And then serving as elder. So all within less than a year of getting confirmed in the faith, in this church, and now I'm being called into a leadership position to try to learn how to do all these things, right?
Yeah. And we didn't have a permanent pastor at the time. Pastor
yes,
Jensen.
Yeah, we were in transition.
And Emler were still on the way. So
Yeah. And we'll talk more about your journey into church work and your journey back here to the States in just a moment. We need to take a quick break. We're talking with Stephen and Stephanie Guzik on our Set Apart to Serve series. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's
Uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50 plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Stephen and Stephanie Guzik. Stephen is completing his first year at Concordia Seminary, and Stephanie works here with us at the International Center as support coordinator with the LCMS Office of National Mission. And we are sharing your story of the last, seven or so years of your life, the formation, and how you guys came from Germany back to the United States. So before we went to break, you were sharing how you were essentially put into a leadership role. It's something's going to happen when people are like, oh, it's an easy job. You won't have to do anything. And then, you know, COVID happens and, you know, all those things. Yes. So tell us more about how this congregation that you immediately recognized as something special. How did this congregation really encourage you to consider church work, Stephen?
There were just so many people there who were just so supportive. It was very humbling.
Yeah.
Sorry to say. Yeah. Like we were saying, how the congregation constantly turns over every year. Mm-hmm. So you really need to, you know, as I learned serving in leadership, you got to draw people into leadership very quickly because they're not going to be there very long. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, okay, we'll wait a few years and we'll develop you. It's like, no, you have skill sets. We're bringing you in now. We're going to build team, you know. Mm-hmm. I came from a background of 30 years in the different forms of business industry and everything. So I had all that leadership and experience, which is one of the reasons why I was chosen to come into this role. But doing that in leadership in a secular environment, secular business versus a church is quite different.
Yeah.
You know, you have to approach things very differently. So people are very gracious as I learned to navigate how to do that. But again, just so supportive, loving, kind, and a lot of guidance, you know, from the folks who've done this before.
I think one of the things is nobody at the church was like, no, you can't do this. Mm. It's just very hands-on, everybody together. Okay, Stephen is going to do this. How do we go about supporting him? What do we do? There's that can-do attitude, must-do attitude when you're overseas that people just naturally gravitate to or naturally do. Instead of all this negative attitude or insisting that things be a certain way or all, okay, this is going to happen. How do we make it happen? And that's a military thing too. All right.
Yeah, that's what you say. Exactly.
Paul Hester, what order do I need to give?
Exactly.
To make this happen.
Yeah, it's a military community. Everybody pulls their resources and their time and talents. And okay, we're going to make these things happen. So nobody's doing these things alone. It's not the leaders doing all these things. It's everybody as a family, as a unit, doing these things together. That makes it just even more joyful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about where the idea of becoming a pastor, going to seminary. I'm assuming someone planted that idea. We'll attribute it to the Holy Spirit. But
yes.
How did that play out? What did that look like? Where did that idea first, where was that first planted?
So I was serving in these different roles in the church, and it was definitely a joyful and challenging experience, learning a lot, growing in those skill sets, but also growing in my faith as well. There was an organization I was involved with over there, an ecumenical organization, and they had a men's retreat weekend. And it was a weekend in Christian living, Christian leadership, and that kind of thing for men. And I came out of that weekend with a sense that feeling I'm supposed to be like becoming a pastor, you know, leading a church and doing all that, you know, and I was quite resistant to that. And so I fought that urge for several months, you know. And as I started sharing that with several people, you know, starting with Stephanie first, of course, it was like, oh, yeah, well, we knew that was happening, didn't you? It's about time you figured that out. But I didn't quite figure that out. It took a while for, like I said, the Holy Spirit to work on me, to draw me into that. And then once I stopped resisting that push or that urge, doors started opening, starting with putting an application in actually with Fort Wayne. So that's where I was accepted first. And then, we had tried to find other ways to begin my formation overseas. But unfortunately, just everything is like, no, you need to come brick and mortar. You need to come back to the States and do this. I was very fortunate to be able to take a course through Riga Latvia, through our sister seminary up there, under Dr. David Preuss. I got my first introduction to Greek doing that over him. So that was a great primer for what I had to face when I came here. That was a huge blessing. But again, the less I resisted and the more I just flow with things, the door started opening up to me, started happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about that transition coming here, going through orientation at the seminary, for both of you. What was that transition like, coming to the States and just kind of getting used to this idea of seminary and what the future holds, Stephanie?
Well, I think at once it was natural and surreal. It was natural because we had come to terms a long time ago that this is what God had ordained. This is what he had planned. Mm-hmm. Anytime we tried to say no, God would just smack us over the head.
It's funny how he does that.
And so it was like, okay, of course we're here. But then you stop and you're like, oh, wait, we're here. Mm-hmm. And Concordia St. Louis is just so... it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. The whole thing. There's no way you can take it lightly. I just remember being overcome by the ceremony at the beginning, just almost ready to cry, really, because of how emotional and just standing there thinking how far we've come, watching him walk down with the new seminarians and just thinking, okay, wow, in such a short time, our life just went on such a 90-degree change and has flown from there, and this is where we are. Mm-hmm. And it never ceases to amaze me, as comfortable as it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about your role here at the International Center, how you ended up here and what you get to do.
So I ended up coming over here to join Stephen, so that we're together. And I have always been serving, usually as a teacher, serving inner city kids, serving military kids, serving the church in some capacity. So now serving LCMS, where he's going to be, a pastor, this world, we needed to get to know it. Because like he said, we were on the fringe of LCMS society. So coming in here and in the epicenter of LCMS, Lutherville. I was like, okay, let me apply. This is where I really want to be. And so I applied and they hired me. And every day it's just a joy. I get to learn more stuff. It's just so amazing coming from a military environment, where you're not allowed to talk about God and Jesus I can go to service. I can stop working and go to service. There's, pictures all over here. I think one of the things that floored me was having to come up with a signature, a Christian signature, instead of have a nice day or thank you. I guess I can come up with something that actually glorifies God. So I'm loving this. It's amazing.
That's fantastic. Stephen, how's your first year of seminary? Now, I think classwork is done for you now at this point, I think. Is that right?
That is right, yeah.
How did that first year go for you?
Oh, boy, it's been a challenge. I'm coming at this in the, I'm a hockey guy, so let's say we're coming at this late in the second period of my life doing this.
Second period's the hardest period.
It is. coming back into an full-time academic setting after being out of school for 35 years. So getting all those gears going again, knocking all the rust off was a big challenge, especially with taking on the languages with Greek and Hebrew. Been challenging, but so rewarding as well. I mean, these professors are just outstanding. I mean, these guys are just like Stephanie said, like being in that, you know, being in orientation, being at that service, you know, like ever since then, I could say, you know, the one word to describe the whole experience is humbling. Mm-hmm. You know, being in the presence of, you know, this place, knowing the history that's here before, being with these professors who are just so knowledgeable, so encouraging, you know. Definitely give a shout out to my professor, Penhaligan, my Hebrew professor. He's just been so supportive and encouraging this year with everything. You know, we've had a lot of challenges this past year, just getting settled and getting in place here. And he's been mm-hmm. so supportive of that. Yeah, but it's been great. And just, I also want to just acknowledge too, with the pastors back in Germany, you know, it was Pastor Asher who started all this. You know, so I blame him for a lot of these things. but, you know, just, you know, following him was, you know, Pastor Christian Teves and, Pastor Jensen, who's currently in Kaiserslautern, and Pastor Schusky from Frankfurt, and Jonah Domenichelli, who was a church planter up in Spangdahlem. But all these men have been, you know, such an integral part of me coming here to this place and taking this path.
What would you say to that brother in Christ who is maybe considering a change in careers and a second or third career, coming to seminary and becoming a pastor? What would you say to him if he's thinking about that right now?
Yeah, if you're thinking about that, don't fight it. spend a lot of time in prayer. If you're married, obviously, definitely speak to it with your wife and your family, because it is a total redirection and rededication of your life. And a joyful one, not without its challenges. I mean, you know, Christian life is not easy, you know, and being formed as a pastor and to lead others in the faith, that's not an easy calling either. You know, it's a noble one, certainly, as we learn in scripture, but there's a lot of joys with it. So yeah, don't hesitate. Don't mm-hmm. hesitate to do that. Just, you know, there are, especially here at St. Louis, the counselors, who bring you on, the recruiters and everything, Joel Heckman, for example. These guys are just so knowledgeable, so helpful, so encouraging to help you talk through these things. So there's resources there that you can reach out to get your questions answered.
I would have to say, do what is right and let God take care of the rest. That was our mantra.
Yeah.
Our guests today, Stephen and Stephanie Gusick, recently relocated to St. Louis from Germany for Stephen to attend seminary here in St. Louis, and Stephanie serving with us here at the International Center. Thank you both for being our guests on the Coffee Hour today.
Well, thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
Me.
Thank
Enjoy.
You.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.